Shabbat Shalom in the home.
Test 5, 6, pick up sticks. Test 7, 8, don't be late. Test 9, 10, do it again. Test 1, 2, there we go. Buckle my shoe. Test 2, 3, take a, okay.
No.
Take three. Test 2, 3, have one for free. Coke's on
Maybe
me.
He's not
okay, Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
We are here today to worship. Who are we here to worship?
Yeshua.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we come. Amen. We don't come to worship the rabbi. We don't come to hear the rabbi. We don't. He just leads the service. People, you know, sometimes when I have to go away, I don't always tell everybody because people will say to me, well, I'm not coming if you're not going to be there. I've heard that 1,000 times. They say, if you're not going to be there, I'm not coming. So sometimes I don't tell people when I'm not going to be here because it's not about me. Everybody say it's not about me.
It's not about the rabbi.
No, it's not about you either. Say it's not about me.
It's not about me.
It's not about you.
It's not about me.
It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. So, amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's worship the Lord and let's pray. And if somebody could close that little shade there, because that one is the one that affects this. Thank you, Wendell. All right. Hallelujah. Ooh, I got a microphone up by my ear. You know, if my ear talked, then I wonder what it would say. The guy in the movie we got his ear cut off. Well, was it Van Gogh, the painter?
Yes.
He cut off his ear. I wonder what his girlfriend heard when he sent her his ear. Ears to you. That's good, Carol. All right, let's give it up for Carol. She had the joke of the joke of the morning. Ears to you. All right. Are we ready? Are we ready?
Yes.
Set. Go! Hallelujah. Wendell, you can open that one next to you. Thank you. Unless you don't want it. Jump. We don't hear anything.
Shabbat
shalom. Nothing in the monitor. Shabbat shalom. A little louder. Shabbat shalom. Monitor. Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Ora v'simcha. Hey, Yom Zeh Yisrael. Ora v'simcha. Ora v'simcha. Shabbat Menucha. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Ora v'simcha. Shabbat Menucha. Shabbat Menucha. Day for Israel. We're still not getting it up here. This day for Israel. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath of Israel. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. Sabbath of his rest. Hallelujah. Woo! Everybody say woo.
Woo!
Woo!
Whoop glory! Everybody say whoop glory.
Whoop glory!
Okay. Say it again. Whoop glory!
Whoop glory!
Now, if you can't say whoop glory, you got a problem. So you need to shake it off. So then take your hand and shake it off your shoulder. Whatever's on with that monkey on your back, shake it off. Okay, everybody take the hand out to your shoulder and go, this is from the general, Rabbi Bob Solomon. He's one of the big generals. Shake it off. Now take your other hand and shake it off. Shake it off. Amen. Now spin around, do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around. Okay? All right. Shabbat Shalom. Anybody watching today, we're glad you're out there in TV land. We didn't advertise, but we hope you remember to tune in. Sorry we're late. I had a family crisis to put out this morning. And not my family, but just a situation that I got a phone call, and they wanted to charge me $1,000 they wanted to come and get $1,000 this morning for the demolition. Our fellowship hall had a flood, for those who are watching. So I've been dealing with this company for 18 years, and they've never done this to me. But I said, you know, can we wait till Monday? And they said, yeah, we can wait till Monday. And I said, can I talk to the manager that I deal with instead of some guy I don't even know? Too many cooks. What do they say about too many cooks?
Spoils the broth.
Too many cooks spoils the broth. So it's been kind of a hectic morning for your old rabbi. It's been a little hectic morning. But here we are with the blessing of the Messiah. Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed art you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Okay, the servant of the Lord. That's you, Anthony. You're the servant of the Lord.
Should have been ready. Now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen. Baruch Hashem. That means praise the Lord. Amen. Isaac, are you charging my phone, honey? Thank you, buddy. All right. Okay, so we're going to do Ma Tovu now.
Ma Tovu. Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel, v'ani beruch hasdecha, v'betecha, eshtachaveh.
Lord, I love
of the house where you dwell, in the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
I mean, we're going to do the Vishamru, but before we do, if y'all could just, if there's some way you could turn Don's voice up in the monitors, not so much, the instruments are okay, but if I can hear her voice, that'll help me follow. And then, you know, that's really the big thing. Amen. Okay. Let's do the Vishamru, page 45. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, Ohili Olam. B'shamru, B'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yomim asa Adonai, asa Adonai shemayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam.
Keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout third generations as an everlasting covenant.
It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. Pray for Jerusalem. Okay.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem.
Pray for
Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you.
Is my monitor plugged in? Can somebody check the plugs there, please? Yeah, we're not getting any. It's what? It's not coming out. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to continue on. What's next? Manavu or Shema? Let's do the Shema. Please all rise for the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher enochim etzavcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta baham v'shivtecha b'veitecha u'v'lechtecha v'aderech Uveshachpecha, uvekumecha, ukeshartam, liot al yadecha, vahayom letotafot beinecha, uchetavtam, al mezuzot beitecha, uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is blessed is the name of the Lord's kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hands, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen, Brother Joe. That's what my friend Brother Ron used to say. It's amen, Brother Joe. A lot of people call me Brother Joe. People don't call me that in Boston. I won't say what they do call me, but not fit for the stage. But actually, I was in Orion's Steakhouse, and my wife was explaining to the waitress one time that I was a rabbi, and she called me Ribeye. This is a true story. Here you go, Ribeye. I've been called Robbie Joe. Ribeye, Robbie Joe. I just go with it, whatever, you know. As long as you get Joe in there somewhere. All right, what's next? Michamocha. This is the oldest hymn in the world. Huh? Oh, carry the Torah. I don't have it. I don't have it. Well, let's see. How about who feels of the men who feel strong and carrying like carrying the Torah today? Wendell. Who else? We need a second person. Terry, come on up. Terry and Wendell and Mr. Anthony Cody. He will open the ark for us. Are we do Michamocha now?
Okay. Michamocha netar bar kodesh Norai tehilo Osei Oh, say, who is like me, O
And the answer to that is Ein kamocha ba'elim Adonai ba'ein kemasecha Malchutcha malchut kol olamim umimsheltecha bechol dor vador Adonai melech Adonai malach Adonai imloch leolam vaed Adonai oz liamo yitain Adonai yivarech et amo bashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Okay. Get ready, gentlemen. Are you ready? Of the Lord, who praise the Lord by day in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. With thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Amen. Okie dokie. By heben so aron vayomer Moshe kuma Adonai viyafutsu oivecha viyanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion teitse Torah ki mitzion teitse Torah udvar Adonai miyerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Liamo Yisrael Bikdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Okay. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruchu et Adonai Hamavora.
Baruch Adonai
Hamroch Yolam Ba'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, v'na'atan lanu et torato. Baruch atah Adonai noten ha'torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, today's parsha is from Deuteronomy 21 through 25, and it's ki titzei, which means when you go out to war. This parsha begins with a war and it ends with a war. And one of the interesting things about this parsha, it has the most of the 613 mitzvahs are contained within this parsha. There's actually 74. I hope everyone had a chance to read it. But, you know, as you study the Torah, you learn a lot more as you study. It becomes a part of you. And I think, actually, the more you study God's Word, I think the smarter you get as far as things within your life, as far as understanding things and being able to do things. I think God's Word gives you that ability. So, in essence, you're a smarter person because you're dealing with God on a daily basis in His Word. You see, the Torah has layered meanings, and they're all present at the same time. And God is telling us today, He says that when you go out to war, it's talking about two wars, and at the end, God is giving us instructions pertaining to a perpetual war that is not over yet, continuing. You know, the wars that God is talking about, the kind of wars that we're involved in on a daily basis. You can be involved in a physical war, or you can be involved in a spiritual war. A lot of us have become in warfare of the spiritual nature. Sometimes it can be an internal struggle within yourselves. You see, each battle that you face brings out either the worst in you or the best within you. You see, we all are humans today, and the Torah is really our lifeline. God's Word is a lifeline to us. No matter your strength or failures, it is your anchor or your lifeline. You see, the month of Elul that we are in currently, and we're leading up to the high holy days, which is the month of Tishrei, Elul is the month that reflects to repent and to return to the person that we are meant to be. And it's all within the Torah. You know, within the Torah, every concept, every instruction of life, every sacrifice, every place that's mentioned, every person, every battle, every word, every Hebrew letter reflects Yeshua. He is represented by the cloud and the fire. That was Yeshua. He is our covering. You see, religion can overshadow God's word, and religion can actually keep you and interrupt your faith if you let religion do that. John chapter 5 says that Yeshua said this. He says, "You have searched the scriptures because you think that you will have eternal life and have been witnesses of me. If you had trusted Moshe, you would have believed in me because he wrote about me." You see, this parasha has a lot of other things in there. I know Rabbi's going to finish his about the bride. It actually has a piece in this Torah portion about divorce. It's sort of the offset. It's called getim in Hebrew, and it means to be two opposites. It's what a divorce is. It conveys with divorce, and his sermon is going to be on the bride, which is a marriage, and it conveys the concept of separation. And that there is no ties between a person that is divorced. It's an unconditional separation. You see, marriage and divorce are closely connected. Divorce implies, if you read the Torah today, it implies it's a foreign spirit. It's a spirit of foreign that separates the two people. Without the spirit of foreign, there would be no separation because, according to God's word, divorce is unnatural. It's not a natural thing. And if you look at in the book of Genesis, where at Mount Sinai, the Mount Sinai experience is where God and the Jewish people came together, and that was a depiction of a wedding, really, right there, a wedding that's yet to be fulfilled, a wedding that's coming. You know, it even started in the Garden of Eden, you know, with Ish and Ishah, the man and the woman. God join them in marriage. If you look at their names, you'll see that God is contained within their names, because with their two letters, each of their names has two letters that are the same and a letter each that are different in each name. The Yod and the He are the two letters. If you take them out of Ish and Isha, you get the word Yah, which is God. And what's left is the Aleph and the Shin, which is the term Ish, which means fire. When you take God out of your marriage, then you will have fire. You will have that separation. You will have that foreign spirit come into your marriage that leads to a divorce. And just to close this morning, the last, you know, when I was mentioned earlier when we started about the perpetual war, the last three mitzvahs of this Torah portion deal with Amalek. Now, Amalek in Hebrew means to suck blood. That's what the term Amalek means. And if you're not sure who Amalek is, he was the grandson of Esau. That's who he was. And Esau was the father of Edom. So Amalek was the one who wanted to, and God tells us today there's three particular mitzvahs that pertain just to the perpetual war that we have. And God says perpetual. It means that it keeps going on. It doesn't stop. Because he says, remember what they did, and we are called to destroy them, and we are called to remove any of their presence upon the face of the earth. God says, remember these are given unto you today, and who Amalek is. I had an interesting article last week about who is Amalek. And, you know, we have a tendency to believe that Adolf Hitler was probably an Amalek or a type or an Amalek son. And then you had Haman, who tried to destroy the Jewish nation. I think Amalek can be identified as anyone who wants to destroy the Jewish people and the Jewish nation. That is a spirit of Amalek, is those people. We call it anti-Semite, but it's really a spirit of Amalek. And God said it's a perpetual war. It will never end until the Prince of Peace comes. Shabbat Shalom.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord,
and we shall return.
Renew our days as of old.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Is my cordless on?
Got me there? Ooh, wow. Is it live or is it Rabbi? Okay. I'm sanitizing. All right. How's everybody? So let's see. We've got Fall Feast coming up. And we have, let's see here, let me look at the calendar. Want to make an announcement. And Lord have mercy, where's the holiday? Where did that holiday go? Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say Miss Dawn, she began her flying peeps yesterday. Everybody say flying peeps. Flying peeps. She flew four flights, and she said that thing took off like a bat out of you know where. And she said that it was overwhelming. She has never. She said flying a jet was so different than training in a simulator. They train them in, you know, like it's almost like a Disney ride. Seriously, you go into a like a lunar landing module. That's on hydraulics, and that's what you train in. It has a screen, it has seats and chairs, and it has most of the equipment that's in the airplane. But when you actually get in the airplane and have to fly it, it's different because it's real. And anyway, she had a rough day. She was exhausted. She went to bed about 7:30 last night, and she's flying four flights today. She flew four flights yesterday, two out west and two out back to the East Coast. And then she's flying four more flights today. She's flying 7 days in a row. It's called IOE, Initial Operating Experience. And so she has to go through a rigorous 7-day period of, and then she has to be, pass it. Now she can't be fired. They'll just keep training her until she gets it. But I, knowing her, she'll get it. So she'll either get it in 6 days or 7 days, and she'll probably be home next week, next Shabbat. So, anyway, I'm just letting you give you an update on her. So she's under that kind of, she's under a lot of pressure. So please keep her in your prayers. And anyway, the flood, we had a flood in our fellowship hall last Saturday, just before we had Oneg, just before Dawn's party that we had for her. We had a flood from the rain coming down the hill in the backside. As far as I know, I'm not an expert, but as far as I know, it was the rain coming down the hill, got into the cracks in the block in the back of the building. And then, so I couldn't get a claim going. Thank you for praying, because I couldn't get a claim going for about 5 days. I mean, usually you call your insurance company, you get a claim going right away, and then they send the adjuster a few days later or a week later. But I couldn't even get a claim going for 5 days, okay? And so what I found out, I had a restoration company come out, and I want to thank William, especially William and Isaac, and Isaac's friend Khalil helped me tremendously. William went out and got a fan. Thank those who helped pay for the fan, who helped William. But William did the lion's share. He sucked up a lot of water, and he got a big fan to dry it out. And then Isaac and I and Isaac's friend went out the next night. Sunday night, we had to buy more humidifier and fans. We had to buy more fans because we had no help over the weekend. So we had to try to dry it out ourselves. We had four dehumidifiers in the fellowship hall running at the same time. Normally we have two. We had four running. They were filling up as quick as we could empty them. And then we had fans going, and basically the restoration company came in Monday or Tuesday, and they tore out the carpet. They cut a 2 foot on the bottom of the wall. They cut from the floor 2 feet high all across the room. And they didn't ask me. They just did it. Anyway, I guess it needed it. I found out something, that the concrete back wall behind the finished wall, the wall, you see there's a brick wall outside this building, and then there's the wooden, and there's the the sheetrock or whatever on the inside. What I found out is that the concrete outer wall of the building is separated, the floor, it's separated from the floor about 1 to 2 inches in some places all along the building. So you can actually see dirt in there. And so I have a contractor too, so it's been a very busy week for me. I've been dealing with contractors, plumbers, restoration people, insurance people, and it's a miracle that I'm even standing here. My spleen was enlarged. I had to go to the cancer doctor, and thank God, I got to praise God, my blood counts are great, and amen. And I'm doing a CT scan on Thursday, and that's going to come out great. I'm sure it's going to be fine. And the only thing that was up was my glucose a little bit, so I got to watch that. I got to watch my carbs. But praise God for, you know, my blood counts have been holding steady in spite of all this pressure. And I thank God for that. And I want to just update you. My contractor is going to plug in, he's got a special kind of caulk. He's going to caulk those cracks where the dirt is. He's going to put caulk in there and seal, a special kind of cement, whatever, to stop off the water from being able to get in the cracks. The wall is white as a baby's bottom. I mean, it's like these walls here. The wall of the building is white. There's no water dripping down the wall. There's no yellow or mold on the wall, on the concrete wall. It's just the floor that is separated from the floor of the building. The wall is separated from the floor. So anyway, we're also going to caulk. He's going to caulk the outside of the building. He's going to caulk it where there's cracks in the block along the edge of the building. He's going to caulk. Then he's going to put flashing over, like about this high. He's going to put like a round flashing aluminum around the edge of the building to keep water out of those cracks, keep it away. And then we have to replace the carpet. There's no carpet in there now. We have to fix the wall. And the restoration company tried to hit me up for $1,000 this morning. I've been using them for 18 years. They've never done that to me. So I'll deal with them Monday. I just said I've got services. I can't deal with it today. So I'll talk to the manager Monday, but they've never hit me up for that. Anyway, they've never done that to me. So our repair is going to depend on how much we raise to do it. Now, here's the last thing we need to do that really would be a good thing to do. They want to the plumber wants to dig a French drain 3 feet down or 4 feet down and put a drain pipe on the bottom. What a French drain is you dig a channel of dirt about 3-4 feet down, about maybe a foot or foot and a half wide, and you fill it with gravel. And at the bottom, you put a big, a pipe to catch the water. Not an open pipe, like a half pipe to catch the water. And you channel the water. The water goes down the drain into the pipe, and it drains away. Am I correct, Wendell? It drains away from the building. He's not talking about going. Now, he could go all the way down to the bottom. I don't think we can do that. So this will be, I think between these two, the flashing, the caulking, and a three foot French drain, I think will be sufficient to protect us from further events like this, unless it's a 50-year flood. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's an unusual, just a 50-year flood. But I want to urge, we're going to take up an offering. I want to ask people to pray about contributing extra, if you can, to the building fund to help defray the cost of doing this work. We have to put carpet, we got to fix the walls, we got to caulk, and then the question is whether we're able to afford the French drain. You know, he's going to put the other thing he's going to do is the gutter has, the water was pooling in the gutter in the middle of the building, so they're going to put another drain spout down and drag that away so the water doesn't pool in the middle of the gutter and so that it all drains away. Okay? So that's where we're at with that. And so let's now talk about the fall feast, okay? Before we take our offering, okay? So today is August, is it? What? 25th. Okay, so we're at Elul 14. And we're about, so in 1 month, on September 28th, we're having Sukkot in the mountains. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to do it with New Life Baptist Church. And we're going to have, they've got a 100-acre farm. It's beautiful. They've got camping. If you're watching and you know anybody that likes to camp out, we're going to be camping out. We've got a 100-acre farm on the church property. We're going to do it together with New Life Baptist Church, our friends, Pastor Bill Christian. They're going to feed us breakfast and dinner each day. Lunch, people will be responsible for themselves to go out and get lunch. But breakfast and dinner, it's a very modest fee. I think the registration is going to be like $15 for the kids for the weekend, $25 for adults. That's just registration. If you want to have a camper there, it's going to be, I think it's going to be $25 for a tent, $35 with electricity, I think, something like that. Don't quote me, but I'm in the vicinity. $25 to have a tent for the weekend, $35 with if you want electricity with your tent. Then it goes up if you want to have a camper, if you want to bring a fifth wheel, or you want to bring if anything under a 30 foot is going to be $50. If you bring a camper, an RV, it's going to be $50, and then it'll be, I think, $75 or something. This is just rough estimates. $75 if you want water and electricity. Okay. Then if you bring over 30 footer and you hook up, it's going to be between $75 and $100, depending on if you hook up. So if you hook up with but let me tell you something. If you bring over a 30 footer, you can afford $100. So if anybody's got over a 30 foot RV, you've got $100, right, Bill? Okay. So it's pretty cheap, all right? I mean, $15 for kids, 12 and under, $25 registration for adults. Scott in the Mountains. It is beautiful. I'll show pictures. Contact us. We'll send you pictures. So as far as the other feasts, so that's September 28th, 29th, and 30th. We're going to have Deborah Klein and Ian Torno. I'm just kidding. We're having Deborah Klein and Vince Ian Torno. Somehow somebody wrote in our flyer, Deborah Klein and Ian Torno. I think Deborah Klein and Vince are going to, maybe they'll bring Ian with them. But anyway, Deborah Klein and Vince Ian Torno are coming, and they're going to do worship for the weekend for us. And so we're glad, excited to have them. That's the September 28th, 29th, and 30th. It'll end Sunday afternoon. It'll begin Friday night. Thursday night will be decoration of the sukkah, and we'll have a party and decoration of the sukkah Thursday night. Just come, bring pumpkins and string apples, and we'll you know, whatever. If you can bring some apples and cranberries or whatever, and some thread, and we'll string up lights or whatever, anything you can bring, and then we'll work together with their church, and we'll try to decorate the sukkah. And we're going to worship in a tent. If it's raining, we'll go inside, and we'll have meals inside. And if you have gluten-free, if you have special needs, please let us know, and we'll make sure that your needs are met. If it's just vegetables, if you are vegetarian, if you're gluten-free, please let me know. But don't not come because of that. We'll take care of you. Okay. Okay, so let's look at Rosh Hashanah. That's the 9th. That is Sunday night. So I'm thinking that we'll have a service Sunday night for Rosh Hashanah. Monday is the day of Rosh Hashanah, and it ends Monday night. Technically, the biblical Rosh Hashanah ends Monday night. The rabbinical one ends Tuesday night. So I'm thinking we'll have service Sunday night. How does that sound to all of you? Raise your hand if you're interested in Rosh Hashanah Sunday night, or would you rather have it Monday? Let me see hands for Sunday night. Okay, let me see hands for Monday. Okay, all right, so we're going to do it Sunday night, okay? And if I encourage people, if you have other things that you do, this is a very special day, Rosh Hashanah. I encourage you to think about skipping whatever else, you come into the Lord's, the high holy day. These are the Lord's feasts on that night. Okay, let's go 10 days later to the 19th. That's Yom Kippur. That's a Wednesday night. So we will, Erev Yom Kippur is Tuesday night, but since we already have prayer on Wednesday night, why don't we just have a Wednesday night? Well, let me ask you again. Raise your hands. Who would prefer to do Yom Kippur Tuesday night? Now, here's what we can do. We can have a Tuesday night service and break the fast Wednesday evening. Now, I understand, folks, like you may not be able to get here. I get it. That's we're totally cool. But for those who are here, if you'd rather have, we open the service with Kol Nidre on the first night, and then the next night we close with an early service, and then we break the fast, and we go out and break the fast. That would be Wednesday night. So do you want to have service Tuesday night, or do you just want to have service Wednesday night and break the fast? Usually we do Tuesday night, then we get together Wednesday. Wednesday is usually a smaller crowd, but then, I'm sorry, not Wednesday. I mean, the second night is usually a smaller crowd. But being that it's a Wednesday, more people might come. So raise your hand if you prefer to do Tuesday night opening service, Wednesday night concluding, if you can do that. 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, 5. What's that, honey? You can do Tuesday. Okay, that's fine. All right, okay. Now, who would rather just do Tuesday or Wednesday by itself and not do a second night? Like I said, the whole thing is it's a fast. Yom Kippur begins a fast at sundown on Tuesday. It ends at sundown on Wednesday. And we usually go out and break the fast together after a brief service on Wednesday. So does that sound good? Raise your hand if even if you can only come to one service, if Tuesday night and Wednesday sounds good to you, opening service Tuesday night, concluding, and then break the fast Wednesday, just raise your hand if that sounds good to you. Okay. I think that's what we'll do. And yes, Carol. Oh, shoot, you're raising your hand. Does that sound good? Okay, good. I think that's what we'll do. If you can make it to one, try to make it to one. If you can make it to both, make it to both. If you can take the day off from work, please try to get your day off from work now. If you work, you know, so try to get the day off now so that you can, you know. And if you want to have a daytime prayer meeting or something, we can do that, or just discuss the holiday. We can have a just sit around and talk. Yes, Bill. That's okay. God understands if you can't fast for health reasons. That's okay. God, it's grace. No problem. Others will fast for you. Just come. Just come. That's all. God understands. He knows your health. So don't worry about that. Just do the best you can. Now, what you can fast is chocolate, and you can fast, I'm just saying, coffee. Folks who smoke can fast, not you, but folks can fast cigarettes. They can fast sweets, cookies, chocolate, cakes, ice cream. They can fast lattes, right? Well, I'm just saying things people can give up when they can't fast totally. You see what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. Okay. They can fast from Mercedes. So Anthony's going to give his Mercedes away that day. Anthony's gonna give us. Yeah. Terry's coming that day. He's gonna get the day off specially for that. All right. So we'll have a raffle for Anthony's Mercedes. Okay. You can fix the leak too. All right. Let's move on here. Okay. So you understand? You all have the dates there. We have the 9th. Is Erev Rosh Hashanah, so that's Sunday night. We'll have a Sunday night Rosh Hashanah service. Those who want to get together Monday, if you can get the day off and you want to just discuss and gather and pray and talk about Rosh Hashanah, we can meet during the day. But we'll have our service on Sunday night. And then 9-10 days later, we'll have Yom Kippur. It'll be start with Tuesday night, the 18th, and then we'll break. We'll have a short service on the 19th. Probably about 6 o'clock, we'll start, and then we'll go out and break the fast. Okay, so that's the plan for the fall feasts. And any other announcements? Not. Oh, by the way, I got a praise report. If you have a praise report or an announcement, let me know. Any other announcements? Anybody having a baby?
Okay.
Hallelujah. Wow. Praise God. All right, Crystal Lynn. Do you feel better, honey? Does that feel better? Okay, answer me. Okay. Most women respond to me that way. But anyway, so moving forward, let's see. Do-to-do-to-do. Where was I? Before I got rejected, before I got shot down. What were we going to do? Oh, praise reports. Anybody have a praise report? I want to praise God for the flood. I want to praise God for the flood in my car. And I want to praise God for all the trouble that we've been having. And I just want to thank Him for the trials. And praise Him that He's going to see us through, and He's going to deliver us through every trial. And I'm gonna praise Him, and though He slay me, yet will I praise Him. Amen. Amen. Just, I found out yesterday I had a flood in my car, and didn't know it, and don't know where it came from, but it was staining in the back seat and the floor. The car's all soaked, and I didn't know it had been there for about 5-6 days. So I hope it just doesn't mold. And if it, I hope they're able to get, you know, with vacuuming and steam cleaning, get anything out and fix the leak if there's a leak in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Yes, Aja, you have a praise report. Amen. I was just praising God for the hurricane turning into a tropical storm and not slamming Hawaii. Amen. Well, we just thank God it could have been much worse. Amen. Hallelujah. All her friends are all right. Amen. We're glad to hear. Praise. That's a wonderful report because they could have really been slammed. So, okay, well, let's take up our offering. So folks who have questions, you can contact us by email. If you're watching about the fall feasts, you can contact us by phone or email. We're going to send out a newsletter this week. Whoever can help out on Wednesday or Thursday, if you'd like to help fold the newsletter and come and get it ready. Vicki will be doing it probably Wednesday and Thursday. Thursday, I think, is going to be the big mail-out day. But if you want to come and get stuff ready on Wednesday, just please come. Let Vicki know. Just call the office or call Vicki if you know her number. Amen. But we appreciate your help. All right. And last of all, let's. I want to pray for Buzz and Linda for safety. Buzz asked for prayer today for Linda's safety and her friend. Apparently, somebody was released from jail that they're. Could be in danger by, so we just pray for the safety of Buzz, of Linda Kariva, and her friend Dahlia. We just pray for their safety, Lord, that you give your angels charge over them and protect them. And we pray, Lord, that no harm would come, would befall them. We thank you in Yeshua's name. We pray for Dawn, Lord, as she flies, that you that your angels carry her and her plane. And as my wife always would always tell me, I say, Dawn, do you worry about carrying people's lives, you know, when you fly? And she says, well, I worry about me, Joe. She said, if I get there, they're going to get there. So I just pray she gets there, Lord. And I know she will. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I also want to pray, thank you for Crystal Lynn and her healing, her healing and recovery. And I want to pray for Sharon Philippi. We just want to pray, Lord, thank you that Kayla woke up from her coma. And we thank you, Lord, that Sharon, we just pray you give Sharon boldness as she asked to speak to Kayla and to share the word and to speak to her daughter and her granddaughter. Give her the boldness and the words to say. And Lord, I also want to pray for oh Lord, help me. Thank you, Lord. Well, help us, Lord. Just I pray for our, you give us a favorable settlement. Lord, I thank you for a good report from the doctor. I pray you give us a favorable settlement and a reasonable charges for the repairs to our fellowship hall. Fix it quickly, please, Lord. And bless our fall feasts, Lord. We pray that you bless our fall feasts, Lord. And that you would just bring out the people and camping. We'd have a great time with hay rides. And people would come out to Sukkot in the mountains and join us. And Lord, I thank you that you helped me get my car fixed. And helped me to get it fixed with no further damage. Please, Lord, help me have get my... dry the leak, the water damage in the car, and find out where it came from. Help them to find out where it came from and to stop it. I pray in Yeshua's name, Lord. I thank you for your you take care of all things, Lord. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, Lord, bless this offering now and give us, I pray you just bless the people with a hundredfold return on what they give. Bless us as we give to our building fund and contribute to help fix our fellowship hall. I pray that you'd put it on our hearts what you would have us to give today. Thank you for these tithes and offerings. And I thank you that your word says, test me in this. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there will be bread in my house, in the house of the Lord. He says, bring the whole tithe into my house that there will be food in my house to feed the people. And he says, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain, and I will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. I will rebuke the devourer. Thank you, God. So we thank you, Lord, for their tithes. Folks who are watching online, if you would like to contribute, you can donate securely on PayPal or by credit card online. There's two ways of giving online. You can give through credit card or PayPal if you'd like to contribute. And if this is your congregation online, or if you don't have a place to worship, we invite you to come and join us too if you're in the area. God bless you as you give. What song?
It's Everlasting God.
Is it in the music? It's not in my... Okay. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Ready for you.
Praises all you people. Sing praises to the Lord all night. Sing praises to the Lord. Sing praises all you people. Sing praises to the Lord all night. Hallelujah. Adonai. Hallelujah. Adonai. Hallelujah. Adonai.
Say in Spanish, el nexto. La canción. Okay, can we play, the other one again? Yeah. All right, let's keep the flow.
Clap your hands. All you people, clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice.
La 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 next song is. Anything you can get. We'll take any kind of fish in the ocean. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start preaching.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I had a word. Everybody say, I had a word.
I had a word.
Then I forgot what it was. So let's sing a song.
Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord.
Believe that today. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand has lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. Joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand has lifted high. The Lord's right hand for us. Lord's right hand reigns on high. Lord's right hand reigns on high.
Sing for joy in the Lord, oh you righteous.
Sing for joy in the Lord, you righteous one.
Sing for joy in the Lord, oh you righteous.
Sing for joy in the Lord, you righteous one.
Sing to him a new song.
Let your heart rejoice in him. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name.
Sing for joy in the Lord, you righteous.
Sing for joy in the Lord, you righteous
one. Righteous one, bless his holy name, bless his holy name,
bless his holy,
bless his holy name. With shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. The Lord's right hand mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. The Lord's right hand reigns on high.
The Lord's right hand reigns on high.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Shan holy.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
Put your hands together. Hallelujah. Let's bring an offering of praise unto Adonai this morning. Bless the Lord.
My soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul. Forget not all his good. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, forget not all his goodness. Bless his holy name. He pardons all your iniquities. Healeth all your diseases. He redeems you from the grave. Lord, my soul, Lord, perform his righteous deeds. Justice for all of our prayers. To the Lord's table, and we are going to prepare ourselves to go to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. So if you're at home and you're watching and you have some crackers or matzah or bread and some fruit of the vine, some grape juice or manischewitz, caramel, whatever, get yourself ready. And if you want to join us as we prepare to go to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord, or otherwise known as communion. Okay? Test 1, 2, there we go. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Miss Brenda, how would you like to serve today? And Miss Anna, how about you? Would you like to come and serve? Thank you. All the way from Culpeper. Culpeper. Not Culpeper, like C-O-A-L, not Culpeper, but Culpeper. Not coal. Culpeper. You know what coal is in Hebrew? Coal means everybody, everything. Coal is everything. So you have all the pepper. You know what Vance is in Yiddish? Vance, my son goes to Vance Middle School. You know what Vance means in Yiddish? Cockroach. It's true. Vance means cockroach. Language has very interesting meanings, and I won't get into further things, but there's a lot of different meanings. So, like, for example, I'll give you one other example. A U.S. senator was going to South America, and he got off the plane, and he got a microphone, and he said to the people, "Estoy muy embarazado porque no hablo español." And everybody started laughing at him, and he didn't know why, because he thought he was saying, "I'm very embarrassed, I don't speak Spanish." What he was saying, embarazado, means I'm pregnant. Right. "I'm very pregnant." He said, "I'm very pregnant that I don't speak Spanish." And so, you know, the Chevrolet had a car called the Nova. The Nova, Chevy Nova, which sold tons of cars in the United States, but when it went to South America, nobody bought it, because Nova means it doesn't go. So, true stories. All right, let's go to the Lord's table. How many of you know the Lord has a sense of humor?
Yes.
If you don't know that, read John Eldridge's new book. Get John Eldridge's new book. It's about God's sense of humor. Okay? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen, amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua the Messiah, who said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me will bear much fruit." Amen. May you bear much fruit. And we'll bless the bread. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death. Hallelujah. It was on Passover night when Yeshua took the cup, the third cup of every Passover meal, the cup of redemption taken after the meal. And he said of this cup, which something nobody else had ever said, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." Then he took the afikomen, the middle piece of three pieces of matzah on every Passover table all across the world. He took the middle layer and he said, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. He said, "This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. Let's bless it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Amen. I may have already blessed it, but I forgot if I did. So, double portion, double blessing. All right. So, I want to pray. I just want to, before we go to the table, I just want to, I know we're all family here today, but if you're watching today and you don't know Yeshua, you don't know Jesus as your Messiah, and God is speaking to you through this meeting this morning, and you are looking, you're searching for answers, you're searching for hope, maybe you're searching for healing, maybe you're searching, you have pain, and you're searching for a heart pain reliever that you can't buy in a bottle at a drugstore. If you're looking for a pain reliever, if you're looking for hope, the answer is Yeshua. The answer is Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to offer you a chance to pray and invite the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, that's his Hebrew name, Jesus, to invite him into your heart, to invite him to be your Savior, to be your Lord. So let's just pray these words with me. If you have pain in your life, if you need healing, if you need wholeness, and you would like to ask Jesus to be your Lord, just pray with me now. Dear God, I believe that you sent your Son, Yeshua, Jesus, to wash away my filth. I've messed up, Lord. I have not kept your commandments. I've not read your Bible. I don't even know all your commandments. So how could I possibly keep them? Your standard is perfection. And I have failed. And I confess it. With this prayer, I accept Yeshua, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. Come into my heart. Wash me. Dwell in me. And put my name in your book of life forever and ever. In Yeshua's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, it's not the words you said, it's what you meant by what you said. If you meant it and God touched your heart today, please let us know. I have a gift for you. And just contact me, email me, private message me on Facebook at For Zion's Sake Ministries. Email our ministry. Contact us. Call our office. Just let us know who you are. I'll call you back next week. And I have a gift for you. And I'll be happy to talk to you about beginning your journey of faith with the Lord. Okay? Praise God. Let's also... So let's prepare to come, and as we do, I just want to pray for Isaac. He needs healing, and so let's pray for Isaac. Father, we just maybe somebody could lay Carol just lay hands on his shoulder. Father, we just pray for Isaac for healing. Lord, just take any sickness from his body. Lord, take any sickness, any infection, any cold or virus that he may have. Lord, just take it from his body. And heal him, Lord. Take his whatever's causing him suffering. Make him feel better. Give him rest today. Help him to go home and have a good nap and get some good nutrition in him and nourishment and vitamins and heal him, Lord. Heal his body. I pray, yes, in Yeshua's name. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. Amen. Okay, come as you're ready. Praise God. You. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, dear.
Okay. If anybody happens to go by Kroger, wants to pick up some gluten-free matzah, that would be great. If anybody shops at Kroger, and go in the Jewish food section, pick up a couple boxes. We'll gladly reimburse you. And so that those who are gluten-free folks can get gluten-free matzah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen? To life in Yeshua. Praise God. Isn't Xavier handsome in his junior ROTC Air Force? Xavier, are you going to be a pilot?
Yes.
Doesn't the young man look handsome in his junior ROTC uniform?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
I think I know where his inspiration is coming from.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right. Amen. The lady pilot. All right, so we're going to go to the message now. I'm going to pray. You'll pray for the children. Isaac, if you want to get ready. And, hallelujah. So I'm going to pray for our children up here, and then we'll pray for the message. Today's message is we're going to continue in part three of the bride series. Are your wedding garments without spot or wrinkle? Are your wedding garments without spot or wrinkle? And I'll mention that again in a minute, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is life. Your word is truth. We thank you, Lord, that I want to particularly thank you that you're for your faithfulness, Lord, to all of us and to my family. You've been faithful throughout all, and I'm just grateful to you, Lord, that you've carried me through incredible trials, Lord, incredible trials. And I give you the praise and the glory. Thank you for your word now, Lord. And I pray for the children now, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, I pray for our kids, for Crystal Lynn and Billy, and for Xavier and Isaac and Joshua, Lord. I just pray that you bless our children, Lord. Thank you that they are arrows in our quiver. They are the firstborn, and they are the beginning of our strength. The firstborn children, it says, are the beginning of our strength. Lord, I thank you that they are our heritage, our future. I thank you, Lord, that they are new life. They bring new life to the congregation, to the community. Children bring life. And I thank you, Lord, that you help them in all that they put their hands to. Help our kids to put bless them in their school. Bless them in their sports. Bless them in their Bible studies. Bless them in their relationship with you. Lord, I pray for their helpmates in life, that you would prepare their helpmates even now and prepare them for their future helpmates, Lord. And Isaac, I'll tell you when to turn it on. Okay, just hang on with me. I'll tell you when to click on. And I just thank you, Lord, that you bless them coming in and going out, that they are the head and not the tail. And thank you, Lord, that you anoint me with your word right now. In the name of Yeshua, give me your word today and bind the enemy right now. In the name of Yeshua, bind the enemy in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. And give us the victory. Anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see what you have for us from your word today. Amen and amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Are your wedding garments? All right. Praise God. Shalom. Is it on? Okay. Are we loud? Am I loud enough out there? Okay. Okay, good. All right. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Want to welcome folks on Facebook. This is Rabbi Joe. And today's message is, are your wedding garments without spot or wrinkle? We are continuing in part three and probably the final part of the bride series. If you haven't gotten or listened to the last two messages, I really urge you to get the CD. You can get the CD. You can order it. There's forms back there. You can order it. But you really ought to hear those messages. Amen? Amen. Did you enjoy those messages, those who listened to them? Did you? Amen. Do you think other folks should listen to them? Amen. Amen. I felt God had really given me some serious revelation. And if you haven't heard those messages, I urge you to get the CD and listen to those messages. There is deep teaching about the bridegroom and the second coming and things to come that God had revealed to me, I believe. And so today is part three, are your wedding garments without spot or wrinkle? By the way, did we get last week's message downloaded? Was it ever downloaded on the archive? It is. So for those who couldn't watch, Fred, my buddy Fred in Bristol, not Fred in South Carolina, wants to give a shout out to Buzz and Linda down in Myrtle Beach. Shout out to Fred and Martha, my friends. And in the Bristol area, and Fred, it's on. Last week's message should be up there now. But anyway, and shout out to all of you who are watching. God bless you. Anyway, are your wedding garments without spot or wrinkle? Does your wedding gown need a dry cleaning? Ladies, men, I'm talking about your spiritual wedding gown. Do you know that when you get saved, God gives you a spiritual garment? Okay. And gives you a spiritual wedding garment. And, you know, in the ancient Jewish wedding, and that was my last two newsletters were about the ancient Jewish wedding, and I talked about how the bridegroom betroths himself to the bride. Can you just turn my voice up a little bit here? The bridegroom betroths himself to the bride, and then he goes away for a year. Well, and this is in the ancient Jewish wedding. Well, she would prepare her dress. She would prepare her dress and get herself ready for the wedding. And he would go and prepare a place for her and his father's house. So that's why when it's a little hot. That's why when Yeshua, when Jesus said in John 14, he said, "Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. In my father's house, there are many mansions or many rooms. And I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you." And so what he was saying to them is, in the ancient Jewish wedding, the bridegroom would go to his father's house and he would add on a room or two for him and his bride. As he would build the room, she'd be preparing her dress and making ready for her wedding, usually about a year later, to take about a year of betrothal. Amen? Amen. Okay, so when we get saved or converted, I believe that we get new clothes, we get new garments. Amen. How do you know? Would you believe that God spiritually clothes you with new garments when you get saved? How, you know how I know that? Because if you read Zechariah 1 and 2, when the prophet Zechariah gets taken up to heaven, God sees that his garments are dirty. And so when he's brought before God, God says, give him some, clean him up, give him some new garments. Amen? He's filthy. Clean him up. So that's what God does when he saves us. He says, okay, I love you, you're filthy, and he cleans us up. That's the truth. Does your wedding gown need a dry cleaning? The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 5, 25 and 27, husbands, love your wives, just as Messiah also loved the Messianic community and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the bride in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Let's read that again in Ephesians 5:27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Messiah also loved the Messianic community and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her. Now, why do I say Messianic community and not church? Well, and if you read Hosea 2 and 3, you'll see, and you can read it at home. I'm not going to read it today. We've been reading it the last 2 weeks. I urge you to get those CDs. You can get the 3-CD set mailed to you for $25. If you make a donation and just request the CDs, we'll send them to you on the teachings on the bride, bridegroom, and the second coming. That I've been teaching the last 2 weeks in this message, and you can study them. But anyway, God did not betroth himself to the church. He betrothed himself to Israel. And you can read it in Hosea 2 and Hosea 3. He betrothed himself to Israel. Then Israel went off and played the harlot. She cheated on God with idols and with sin and idolatry. And God didn't cast her off. He bought her back. And if you read Hosea 3, he purchased Israel back, and he made the prophet Hosea marry a prostitute, and then he went had him go down and buy her back from her pimp and bring her back to him. And he said, you're going to live with me for many days now. You're not going to play a harlot anymore. He bought her back. What is that? And then he says, for the children of Israel will be without an ephod, without a sacred pillar, without a temple, without a priest, without any of these things for many, many days. But he says, but in the end of days, everybody say the end of days. Amen. The children of Israel will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the end of days. Amen. Amen? It means the Jewish people, he's telling them, I betrothed myself to the Jewish people. They went astray, but I'm going to woo them back. Read Hosea 2 and 3. I'm going to woo them back to me. And we talked about how the church fits in. And I'm not going to talk about it today. You've got to listen to the message. So you can go back and you can order it on CD. If you know another way to get it, you can get it. All right. So husbands, love your wives. The reason I say Messianic community is because the church... those of the church who are grafted into the community, connected to the Jewish people. Now, that doesn't mean you have to attend a Messianic Jewish congregation. It just means you have to be like Pastor Bill and our friends at New Life. They are laboring with us. There are some churches that support us, some that pray for us. I had a brother last night come to me and say, Brother Joe, he says, I'll bring a team of men from my church and we'll do the carpentry for you. We'll lay carpet for you. We'll do it for free. We'll come. This is from Covenant Fellowship. This church in its newest form. They're in their third location. They've grown. And it was a brother, like an elder from that church, came to me at the football game last night. And he said, I've seen you're having trouble. He says, if there's anything, I can bring a team from our church. And I said, we're in your original building. He said, just call me. So when I get the adjuster, they'll come and do the work. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Isn't that really, that's the way it's supposed to be. And it's those people, now it's sojourners, people who join with the Messianic Jews like yourselves, you're definitely part of Israel. You joined, you're with us. That's what the Bible says. that the foreigner who joins himself, Numbers 15:14, who sojourns along with the Jewish people, there shall be one Torah, one law for the foreigner who joins with the Jewish people, Numbers 15:14, it says, and not only that, it says, you shall treat them as natural born Israelites. So the key to becoming part of the bride, of the Jewish bride, is joining yourself. Now, that means whether it's picking up carpenter's tools and fixing a fellowship hall, sending support and praying for Jewish people, especially Messianic Jews, and helping, or if God calls, sometimes God calls people, one from a church, two from a town, three from a city, to come and join the Messianic community. Amen? He calls people from all over, you know, one from a town, two from a town, one from a church. And if pastors, if you're watching and God calls somebody in your church to go join the Messianic, don't be threatened. Bless that person, because God's going to bless you back for blessing the Jewish people. All right. So the bride is Israel. And so we say here, husbands, love your wives just as Messiah also loved the Messianic community and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the bride in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. In other words, Yeshua, Jesus, is preparing to return for a bride whose wedding gown is white, crisp, and fresh as it was the day it was lifted out of its original box. Unfortunately, we've been wearing the gown a little too long, some of us. We've been wearing it for 20 years. Some of us have been wearing it for 30 years spiritually. I'm not talking about physically. Spiritually, we've been wearing that wedding gown since our salvation. Amen? We've been wearing that gown, getting, you know, waiting for our bridegroom. Are you waiting for your bridegroom? When he comes for a bride without spot or wrinkle, amen? You got to be ready. He says to the, remember the virgins in Matthew 25? Five had oil in their lantern, five didn't. They were all sleeping, but they were all dressed in white. Why? Revelation 19:7. Let's read that. Revelation 19:7. This is a spiritual concept about his wedding gown. Eventually, I think in when he comes in the millennium, there'll be real garments. But in Revelation 19:7, he says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the Kedoshim, the saints." You see that? She was given a white garment, and the white garment is the righteous deeds. So what is your wedding garment? Your righteous deeds. Your righteous deeds that you start doing when you're saved, when you become a believer in Yeshua, is your wedding garment. Okay? This is not me speaking. Let's read the verse again. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Everybody say, she made herself ready. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and clean. Okay. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the Kedoshim, of the holy ones. What are the righteous deeds? What? Well, the righteous deeds are Proverbs says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So when you win souls, you're making your gown. Okay? Soul winners are making their gown. Okay? That's number one. People who walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Okay? People, he talks about, you know, not walking, passing the good Samaritan who stopped and saw the guy lying in the road. And he says, and helped him. Well, the Pharisee drove on by, right? That's a righteous deed. Taking care. When you see somebody out in the road, lying in the road, amen, stay with me. When you see somebody lying in the road and you help them, one time I was in New York City and there was a woman, it was a pouring rain. It was a heavy, heavy downpour. And this woman, it was fall, it was like October, and she was sitting in the gutter of a building, sitting in the edge side of a building, and she was just huddled, this poor woman. And I had just bought a $10 umbrella. Here. I could easily, I walked into a store and bought another one, or walked into a restaurant and dried off, but she couldn't go into a restaurant. She had no money. They would kick her out back then. She didn't have an umbrella. So I gave her my umbrella. I'm not saying this to boast to you. I'm saying this that when we, that's pure and undefiled religion. When we take care of widows and orphans, when we feed the poor, when we clothe them, when we visit the prisoners, when we visit the sick in the hospital, and we pray for them, amen, that's pure and undefiled religion. And that's righteous deeds. Those are the righteous deeds of God. When you pray, that's righteousness. When you worship God, when you come here on Shabbat, or even in home, in your car, in your shower, when you walk your dog, in your prayer closet, the time you spend worshiping God is a righteous deed. Amen? There's several righteous deeds, but the greatest of all is to win souls. The greatest of all, it says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Okay, so the wedding gown is our righteous deeds. Do you understand that? Okay, so it's a spiritual principle. So when we get saved, we start to kind of knit, we kind of start to, sew our wedding gown, okay? We sew it by our righteous deeds. It says it's white and crisp the day it's lifted out of the box. However, as our, over time, what happens if you wear the same clothing over time? Unfortunately, if we've been wearing our gown a little too long, while we wait for his return, we have a tendency to sometimes spill a little coffee on our dress, splash some tomato sauce, unintentionally or accidentally trip and land in a puddle of mud, splatter a little mud on the dress, sometimes as our walk goes on, some people's wineskins get a little hard. Some people turn away from the Lord. Some people get into false doctrine. Some people get into idolatry and money. Ooh, boy, money. There's a new hamburger joint in town everybody's all excited about, and the meat is halal, which means it's been blessed in the name of Allah. So, I posted last night, when I found out about it, somebody texted me and said, Rabbi, do you know about this? I said, no, I hadn't even heard about it. So I went to the post about where it was posted, where people were saying, ooh and ah, what great food, what great burgers. And I commented, because I knew that the person who posted, whose page it was, and I said, in Acts 15 it says not to eat food strangled, meat strangled, not to eat blood, to avoid fornication, and to avoid food sacrificed or in the name of an idol, to an idol. Avoid food sacrificed to an idol. So I ask you a question. Is Allah an idol?
Yes.
Is Buddha an idol?
Yes.
Is Allah an idol?
Yes.
Okay. So if he is, and the food is blessed in his name, then that's food sacrificed in the name of an idol. Capiche? So therefore, when you eat it, God gave the Gentiles four basic commandments in Acts 15 at the Jerusalem Council. That's all he asked of the Gentiles, besides loving one another. And he said, avoid blood, avoid strangulation of food, of meat, avoid food sacrificed to idols, and what was the fourth one? Avoid blood, avoid strength, avoid fornication. Don't fornicate. That's what he said. And with those four, and then he says, for Moses is preached in every city. So, and if you want to go deeper with God, you want to go to the, you can go to a synagogue in every city, and you can study Moses just like you come here. Thank you, sir. You can go to a synagogue, and you can study Moses, and it's right there in Acts 15. You can read the Word, get the Word of God. They didn't have churches back then. Do you know that? They didn't have churches when the Acts 15 and the Jerusalem Council. There were no churches. There were just little home groups and, you know, people studying the Word, you know. Anyway, let's go on. Okay, so after we've worn our gown, sometimes, you know how the Bible talks about where Yeshua in Revelation says, he rebukes one of the churches. He says, you've lost your first love. Yes. You know where you've heard in the Bible where it says, you know, get yourself a new wineskin. Your old wineskin is hard. That's when we spill the tomato sauce. That's when we get the coffee. We don't remember our first love like we did when we were first saved. Amen? How many of you agree with that? If you think that's true, that there's times in our life when we just kind of move away from our first love. Amen? It happens to all of us at different times. If it doesn't happen to you, praise God. I know it's happened to me where I have... you've lost that love and feeling. Whoa, that love and feeling. You've lost that love and feeling. Now it's gone, gone, gone. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sometimes we lose that love and feeling. Amen? You know, it happens in marriages too, you know. Marriages aren't perfect. If you've been married longer than a year, and even if some people have fights on their first week of marriage, if they marry the wrong person. But I've been married 21 years, and, you know, Don and I won't say, we have a great marriage, and I have great boys, great sons, and they've done a great job this summer while Mama's been away. Training to be a pilot. My sons have been a blessing to me. They've helped me. And I want to praise God for Isaac and Joshua. They've just made my life a real blessing. We've had a great, peaceful summer. We've done fun things. Last week we went out on a boat on the lake and we went swimming. And, you know, took the boys swimming. And just they've helped me. And they've helped me. When they could have made my life hard, they've been good boys. So I want to praise God. Okay, so as I write this article, so how do we keep that wedding gown clean and fresh? How do we keep our first love prioritized, ready to walk down the aisle? Bible says of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25 that we're all going to be sleeping, but only 5 of the 10 will have oil in their lanterns. The other 5 aren't going to make it. Because they have no oil. They weren't ready. They didn't have righteous deeds. They didn't have the oil of the Spirit. They had just said, well, the bridegroom's delaying and I'm not gonna wait for him. I'm just gonna go out and party like it's 1999. Amen. Gosh, I'm singing those songs today. I'm not gonna sing that one. Wendell is. No, he's not going to. Okay. As I write this article, it is time of the fall. Feasts are coming. The Lord outlined in Leviticus 23. And I'll ask you a question before I go on. Think about the bride as you, whatever you think the bride of Christ is, the bride of Messiah, whatever you think it is or who they are, or whoever, if you think it's the church or whoever you think they are, the believers, the true believers, the Messianic Jews and the Christians, who serve the Lord, whatever your idea or concept of the bride of Messiah is, I want to ask you a question. In your view of the bride, is the bride today, if Yeshua was to come back today, would the bride be without spot or wrinkle? No. Raise your hand if it say no. For no, raise your hand if you think the bride is without spot or wrinkle. Please raise your, hold them up so I can see. So we got several hands. Okay. How many of you think the bride is without spot or wrinkle today? That Yeshua could come back right now and that bride is just perfect, ready to go. If you think that bride is ready right now, raise your hand. I don't see any hands. Okay. So why do we think that? Because we know Christians in adultery. We know Christians. We all know people, Christians who are going through, who've gone through divorce, or maybe going through because of fornication or adultery. We know people who have Christians who have gone to jail. Some of us for drugs or for some highfalutin people have gone to jail for stealing from corporations and embezzling money. Christians, people go to church. You know, am I telling it straight? I mean, there's a lot of folks out there that call themselves Christian or Messianic too, even. But most, you know, there's a lot more Christians than Messianics. You know, if you know people who know the Lord and they're not walking with the Lord, how many of you know people who aren't walking with the Lord? You don't have to name them. Just raise your hand. Well, there's your answer. Then the bride isn't ready. If you know people who know the Lord and they're not walking with the Lord, then the bride is not without spot or wrinkle. Now, somebody's going to say to me, well, Rabbi Joe, he cast our sins away as far as the east is from the west. He tossed them in the water. They're gone. That's true. But if we sin, it says if we continue to sin and we don't repent, it says 1 John, I believe it's in 1 John 4, it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. So if righteousness is our righteous deeds, our leading people to Yeshua, taking care of the poor, giving our jacket to somebody who's freezing, giving a bus ticket to a person who needs to get home, whatever your righteous deed is before God that God tells you to do, not that Joe tells you, God tells you, whatever your righteous deeds are that you do for God, then, you know, but unrighteousness is the opposite of that. Okay? So he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. That means that's how we dry clean our wedding dress. Okay? That's how we get our wedding dress dry clean. We confess our sins. Amen? By confessing our sins, that cleans all the coffee stains and all the spaghetti sauce and all the mud splatter from walking in a mud puddle and all the whatever it is, you know, chocolate from a chocolate bar. I'm just making things up to stain your dress. That's what washes it off, is confessing our sins. Amen? So, praise God. There's somebody out there. I think that was Nick. We want to check that, Wendell. All right, so let's read on. So it's the time of the fall feast, Leviticus 23. We just had a blood red moon. Jonathan Kahn talked about the Shemitah. And what he said in the Shemitah, which was 2 years ago, was the Shemitah year. And it was two feasts ago, not last year, but the year before, I believe. And what Jonathan Kahn said is that in the Shemitah year, which is every seventh year. It's in the seventh year is the Shemitah year. Okay, what he said is God will bless you if you've been following God. He'll bless you in the Shemitah year. If you don't, this is according to what my reading of Jonathan Kahn, the author of the Harbinger. If you don't follow God during the Shemitah, God will not bless you. He'll curse you. Okay? Now, this is not my words. This is not my... I'm paraphrasing Jonathan Kahn. Okay? But what he's saying is if America doesn't follow God, is what he was really referring to, then God's going to judge the nation. And this is biblical. This is true. If God... If a nation doesn't follow the Lord, God's going to judge that nation. It's as simple as that. Okay? So if we're seeing judgment... And we may talk about that next week, but in a prophetic message. But you know, if we're seeing judgment, it's because our nation has killed, murdered, I don't know, 60 million babies. We've tried to divide the land. I talked about last week the judgment where God judges, the Joel 3:2 judgment where God judges the nations because they scatter the Jewish people abroad. They divided the land of Israel, Joel 3:2, and they made Jewish people into slaves. And God says he's going to judge the nations. And many dispensational theologians believe that the Matthew 25 judgment that you read is the Joel 3:2 judgment, same judgment, where Jesus says, as you've done to the least of my brothers, my fellow Jews, so you've done to me. And for those people who treated the Jews poorly, even if they were Christian, he says, depart from me, I never knew you. So that's why God says, in God's word, this is not Joe speaking. When God says in Numbers 24, he says, how lovely are your tents, O Jacob, and your dwelling place, O Israel. And then he says at the bottom of the paragraph, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, Jacob. Jacob is referring to the Jews, the 12 tribes. Jacob is referring to the Jewish people. And so God says, I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. So God also says in Romans 11 to the people who are arrogant and conceited to the natural branches, the Jews. Read Romans 11. He says, you risk being cut out of the olive tree. He says, you stand only by your faith to the non-Jew who's grafted into the olive tree of Israel. He says, you stand only by your faith. So fear, he says, because you stand only by your faith. Do not be conceited or arrogant towards the natural branches, the Jews. Because you, just as they were cut off, they will be grafted in again, he says. If they don't continue in their unbelief. He says, we'll be grafted in, he says, to our own olive tree. He says to the Gentile who is arrogant to the Jew and conceited, he says, you can be cut off just as they were. So I'm not making this stuff up. This is in the Bible. You can read these verses I'm giving you. Okay, let's move on. So Jonathan Cahn talked about the Shemitah. We've had a blood red moon. I think we've got another solar eclipse coming, which is a sign of judgment on the world. God is so good to provide the feasts for us because spiritually they're like the dry cleaning store downtown. The fall feasts are times, and they're coming up. I gave you the dates earlier. The fall feasts of Israel, laid out in Leviticus 23, are the feasts of Jesus, the feasts of the Lord. These are times set aside by the Lord to attend to stains, spills, and accidents. Okay? The fall feasts are a way to attend to those stains, spills, and accidents that we do to our wedding garments. So many of you have been to Passover, and you know, if you've been to my Passover or similar Messianic Passover or Christ in the Passover, you know it's all about Jesus. It's all about Yeshua. Well, I'm going to tell you something. All eight of the feasts are about Yeshua. If you haven't been to the fall feast, you need to come and learn. So come to our feast. Come and learn. Sign up for our newsletter. Anyway, so let's go on here. God is so good to provide these feasts for us spiritually. They are like the dry cleaning store downtown. The fall feasts are times set aside by the Lord to attend to stains, spills, and accidents. You can try a home remedy if you attend to a deep stain, if you like, but there is nothing like letting the professionals attend to a deep stain. Amen? Nothing like letting the professionals. I don't know about that. My wife's better than the dry cleaners, but but they always say, let the pros handle it. Amen? Let the pros handle it. So anyway, praise God. And that is exactly how the fall feasts of the Lord are designed to help us. They're all about getting the stains out of your wedding gown in a timely fashion. 10 days to be exact of repentance and fasting, beginning on Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and ending on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, assuring that you'll be spotless and fresh as a daisy and ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb, represented by the eighth and the final feast of the Lord outlined in Leviticus 23, the Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Sukkot. That's the Feast of the Nations, which we read about last week in Zechariah 14. It says every Gentile, every nation that comes up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Sukkot will have rain in the millennium. Every nation that does not, every Gentile that does not come up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Sukkot or Tabernacles will have no rain on them. So it's really the Feast of the Nations. And that's why so many Christians go to Israel this time of year and for that feast. So let's go on here. Is the bride ready? Are you a follower of Yeshua? Do you think, I already asked you, do you think the bride is prepared to meet her heavenly bridegroom? Is she really without spot or wrinkle? Revelation 19:7-8 says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in the fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." We learn some important things about the bride here. Number one, the bride has to make herself ready, which indicates a process theologians refer to as sanctification. Philippians 2:12 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? Hallelujah. "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." That working out of our salvation is a process of dealing with our sins that begins at the moment of one's salvation and ends when we come face to face with Yeshua, with Jesus. In other words, though we are given brand new spiritual wedding garments at the moment of our salvation, over time, we sometimes drag them through the mud and soil them, as I said. "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself," this is a scripture, "therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, sanctified, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." 2 Timothy 2:21. In other words, cleanse yourself of your sin. And let your righteous deeds make your gown lovely and beautiful. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you and completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Revelation 19:8 tells us that the bride was given fine linen, white and clean, for the fine linen is the righteousness deeds of the saints. Righteousness equals sinlessness. Everybody say that. Righteousness equals sinlessness. Okay. So the more sinless the individual bride remains, the cleaner her wedding gown is going to be. It's a simple concept. Speaking to believers, 1 John 1:8, thank you, darling, says, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." In other words, we're all going to mess up, even with the truth of Messiah in us. John said in 1 John 1:8, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves." Amen? And the truth is not in us. Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short." All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? So how do we overcome when we stumble and fall short of the glory of God's perfection? The answer is 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Hallelujah. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar." 1 John 1:10, "and his word is not in us." God's method of dry cleaning our wedding gown is, number one, recognizing that we recognize we've sinned, and two, we confess our sins to him. Three, turning back to him with a new heart. He then promises to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, wash away our sins. How awesome is that? Amen? Praise God. He's given us a way. That's grace. That He saved us, though we were yet sinners, He saved us. Amen? Though we were yet sinners, He saved us, even though we were a mess. Amen? Even though we were a mess. That's grace. And not only that, did He save us when we were a mess, He knew we were going to be a mess 5 years out, 10 years out, 20 years out, that we were going to blow it. Amen? He knew we were all going to blow it at some point in time, and that He still saved us. That's grace. Hallelujah. All right. How awesome is that? What happens, though, if we continue sinning once we're in Messiah? Hebrews 10, 26, 27 says, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth of Yeshua, of Jesus, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. God knew when He saved you that you were going to mess up, so He provided a way back through repentance to that pure and holy state of total forgiveness. Nevertheless, some people receive the Lord and go on sinning willfully. Not a good idea. Galatians 5:19-21 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you," Paul says, "as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What will keep you from inheriting the kingdom of God? The works of the flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, enmity," which is hatred, bitterness, "strife," which is fighting, "jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you," he says, "and as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That doesn't mean if you're a Christian or messianic and you have an impure thought. Let's say you see, ladies, a handsome guy walking down your street and you say, "Gee, that fellow's handsome, he's a good-looking guy." As long as you leave it right there and just say, "God, congratulations, you made a nice-looking one there." All right? He'll forgive you, okay? And I could turn around and say the same thing about men looking at women, you know. As long as you don't stay there. You can look at a pretty girl and say, "God, that's your daughter, you made a beautiful one there. She's a pretty flower. And I'm going to leave it alone." Amen? As long as you don't take it beyond that, it's not sin. It's okay to recognize a beautiful flower. It's just don't go stealing your neighbor's flower. Unless you're baking a banana bread. Okay. Disregard that. It's just a joke. Okay. So where was I? So these are the things that will keep you. So if you're a Christian or a Messianic Jew and you tell a lie, that's not going to keep you out of heaven if you tell a lie. It's just, repent, but if you continually lie, you will not go to heaven. If you are a liar habitually, if you are constantly causing division or always jealous, if you're walking in anger, if you're always angry, and you have an anger problem, that can keep you from going to heaven. Amen? So deal with it. Deal with God. Repent. You don't want to go, you want to go. You want to go to heaven. All right. Confess your sin. Ask God to help you overcome your fleshly desires. Don't run to sin expecting God to forgive you when you have no intention of changing your ways, or you'll be in trouble with God. The list of sins that will keep you from going to heaven is listed above, but there are many other things like unforgiveness, gossip, slander, bearing false witness, lying, stealing, coveting your neighbor's belongings or spouse, hating people, haughtiness, pride, disrespect, committing violent crime, failing to tithe. These are sinful. Committing these acts can really stain that beautiful gown too. So let me ask you again, do you think the bride is really ready to meet her heavenly bridegroom? Here's the problem, recognizing our sins. Do you find yourself going in circles with God? Do you feel like there's a roadblock to reaching your destiny and God's promises in your life? Are you experiencing repetitive, painful situations such as rejection, a heartache, backstabbing, failure to be noticed for your gifts, bad marriage, trouble at work, not getting along with people? Perhaps the problem lies within you. If you keep going around the mountain like Moses and the children of Israel, and you're sick and tired of it, you might want to tell God, I surrender. God, I don't know why all this trouble's coming on me, but I surrender. Now, let me tell you about trouble. Sometimes trouble comes on you because you're doing the right thing. King David had a lot of trouble because Saul chased him for 13 years. Amen? He chased him, tried to kill him for 13 years because he was doing the right thing. Joseph was thrown in jail, and he was for 13 years from 17 to 30. He suffered in chains. It says his feet were put in fetters for doing the right thing. He fled from Potiphar's wife who tried to seduce him, and he ended up going to jail, prison. Sometimes doing the right thing, you'll end up in prison. Wow. That's not good. That's rough. But sometimes we cause our own problems. Sometimes we get in God's way, and God's trying to deal in our lives, and he's trying to work and bless us, and we get in the way. We stop him from blessing us because we interfere with what he's doing, because we have no patience, because we can't zip our lips, we can't zip our mouths, and we try to fix every situation that comes along instead of praying about it and letting God fix it. Is everything okay out there? Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's go on. You understand that? Okay. So we have blind spots recognizing our own sin. Let me give you an example. I know a guy who's an elder in a big church. And he said to me, Joe, he said to me, the biggest problem in the church today, he said, is biblical illiteracy. People don't read their Bible. Amen. And I said, okay. And then I went over to his house, and he took me in his private study, showed me his collection of idols. Well, there were unholy critters, like the kind in the Garden of Eden, in his house. When he was away, and there were these unholy critters in his house scaring the daylights out of his wife. And then there was a stalker stalking his, you know, the family, or stalking the wife. Well, you know, and because I was visiting the house, and I was going to take a picture. It's in a pretty setting. And they said, please don't post that on Facebook. We're being stalked. And I said, have you ever considered that if you get rid of these idols, Asherah, Baal, these are idols that this gentleman brought back from Egypt and from the Holy Land and from other countries in the Middle East, brought these idols into his house. I said, have you ever considered that maybe having these idols in your house, and when you read Deuteronomy 6, 7, and 8, it says, destroy the idols, tear down the idols. I don't think God has ever told us to stop doing that. He wants us to destroy idols, okay? And so I said, do you ever think maybe, I said to this guy, this brother, he's a friend of mine, so I didn't want to hurt his, I don't want to come down too hard on him. I said, do you ever think that maybe you're opening up a channel that's allowing these serpents to come into your house, that's allowing the stalker to stalk your family? Do you ever think that by having these idols? And he said, nah, that's not it. Well, read the Bible, brother. You're the one who told me everybody, people are illiterate. You're a Bible teacher. It says in Deuteronomy 6, 7, and 8, read it. Get rid of the idols. Tear them down. Tear down the idols. Destroy them. Don't even mention their names. Amen? How much clearer could it be? God hates idolatry. All right, let's go on. So it's a blind. We have blind spots, some of us. We have spiritual blind spots. We think everything's good. We think we're good with God, but we don't realize that there's things in our lives that we can't see that blind spot, that car driving next to us, and we pull into that lane, you know, the honking on the horn and other things that come people do to us when we drive into their lane, you know, that are not very friendly. And we feel badly that we did it, but sometimes they're not very forgiving, right? Amen. So, all right. So, if you find yourself going in circles with God, perhaps the problem lies within you. If you keep going around the mountain and are sick and tired of it, you might want to tell God you surrender and call on Him to deliver you. Sometimes we aren't even aware of the sin that entangles us. But if we are willing to admit that we might be the problem and confess to God, He will surely send help and set your feet upon the rock. God's appointed times. Each year, God has set apart a time in the fall for His people to deal with and confess their sins in case they were too busy all year to do so. Gentiles who join with their Messianic Jewish friends are welcome to participate in the feasts. Numbers 15:14 welcomes the non-Jew to come to the Jewish feasts, and it says there'll be one law for the non-Jew as there is for the Jew. Notice I said welcome to come, not obligated. Welcome. In Hebrew, these appointed times are called moedim. The word also means feasts, as outlined in Leviticus 23, but it also means appointments. The feasts of Leviticus 23 aren't just Jewish holidays. They are appointed times to come into the house of the Lord and attend special spiritual tasks, specific spiritual tasks concerning the heart. They are the feasts of the Lord. The fall feasts are about dealing with sin, confession, repentance. Confessing your sin, that's what they're all about. The first two feasts are about repenting, and the third feast is celebrating that you've been forgiven. We have a saying about Jewish holidays. They tried to kill us. We won. Let's eat. Amen? We always win. They can't destroy us because God's with us. The fall feasts are about dealing with sin, confession, repentance, and God's judgment of the world. See Jonathan Cahn's Harbinger or The Mystery of the Shemitah. In fact, the first fall feast, Rosh Hashanah, is historically called Yom HaDin or Yom Din, the Day of Judgment. The rabbis teach that the Book of Life is opened on Rosh Hashanah, that the Feast of Trumpets, in the Bible, in Leviticus 23, it's called the Feast of Trumpets. Jews today call it Rosh Hashanah, which means New Year. And the Jewish people have 10 days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to confess their sins to God, to do good deeds, called mitzvot, in order that they might have their name inscribed in the Book of Life for the coming year. These are traditional Jews, not Messianic. The rabbis also teach that the Book of Life is closed or sealed for another year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Without Messiah, the pressure to attain righteousness through performing good deeds can be overwhelming. But in Yeshua, in Jesus, these days are truly productive. Messianic rabbis understand that the Book of Life was actually last opened by the archangel Michael in Daniel 12. Daniel saw everyone whose name would ever be written in the Book of Life. That's the last time the Book of Life was opened. Read Daniel 12. Daniel saw everybody's names, and then the angel Michael said, close the book, Daniel, and it will be seal it up until the end of days. It would never be opened again. It's not opened every year on Yom Kippur. Jewish friends, read the book of Daniel chapter 12. The Book of Life and the Book of Deeds, good and evil, was last seen by the prophet Daniel in Daniel chapter 7 and 12. The books were opened. In Daniel 12, the books were closed until the end of days. So God does not open the book every year. That's a lie. You've been lied to by your rabbis. So anyway, let's go on here. So Daniel was the last one to see the books opened, and then he closed them. And this is the great comfort to us, because our salvation in Yeshua, according to the Bible, is never in question. Nevertheless, our sin nature is still at work like yeast in our bodies. And God knows that we need help, that sin is still trying to make this bread rise. Amen? Sin is still trying to make this bread rise, but God knows our weakness, and he provides a way out, which is repentance, confessing our sins. The wonderful thing about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Messiah is that the traditional service liturgy takes the worshiper through a litany of sins, both of commission and omission. As you proceed through the long list, the worshiper is faced with taking an honest spiritual inventory of his or her current life dealings. There's so much time spent on these subjects that the Holy Spirit has ample time to deal with every person who has a willing heart. Now, in Christianity, they often confess sins we know, but in Judaism, we confess the sins we know and the sins we don't know. Those are the sins of omission, like the blind spot sin. See what I'm saying? We have blind spots in our life where we think that we're doing everything good, but we're not. We're messing up and we don't see it. Amen? All right. So I'm almost done here. The traditional Jewish observance of the fall feast is still powerful to challenge all who celebrate them to deal with their sins, to get right with God, even if the book of life isn't really opened and closed every year, and it's not. The last feast is known in Leviticus 23 as the time of rejoicing. Sukkot is called the time of rejoicing. It is called Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. How appropriate to have 8 full days of rejoicing. We're going to celebrate 3, Sukkot in the mountains. You can get a flyer out there. At New Life Baptist Church, we're going to have Sukkot outside in the tabernacle. How appropriate to have 8 full days of rejoicing after such an intense experience. God knows that we need that time to rejoice. So I'm going to summarize here of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah is the day of the blowing of trumpets, Leviticus 23:23. It's about the awakening the bride to the begin her preparations for the arrival of her bridegroom. You see, in the ancient Jewish wedding, the bride would prepare for a year after the engagement. Then one night, very late, the shofar would sound. The bridegroom would surprise his bride and begin the wedding feast. So on Rosh Hashanah, the shofar sounds and the bride begins her preparations. She cleans her wedding garments by confessing her sins from a sincere heart. 10 days later is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement or covering. Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the Jewish calendar. It is so solemn and holy that you can hear a pin drop in the synagogue. The only other time I can recall such a holy service is my wedding and the weddings of friends and family. For me, Yom Kippur is the wedding ceremony where the bridegroom fetches his bride and who has readied herself for the momentous day, and brings her to the temple with all the guests watching. Holy, holy, holy. After Yom Kippur, there is 5-day period symbolizing the bridegroom taking his bride into his chamber. And that's what happens in the ancient Jewish wedding. Immediately after the wedding, the bridegroom would take the bride into his chamber for several days, and they would consummate the marriage, and then they'd come back out while everybody else was partying, like it's 1999, okay? And after Yom Kippur, there's a 5-day period symbolizing the bridegroom taking his bride into his chamber that he has prepared for her. Then in Leviticus 23:39-40, we are told the 8th and final feast on Israel's calendar begins, Sukkot, also called Tabernacles and Booths. It is known in verse 40 as Zman Cherutenu, the time of our rejoicing. This is a picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Just like Passover, it's just another, it's like the Gospels. It's just looking at the feast from another angle. And this The bridegroom, Yeshua, has returned for his bride who has made herself spotless. The holy wedding has taken place, followed by the bride and bridegroom entering their chamber. Then the party begins. Sukkot is an extreme party with 8 days of feasting and celebrating. Who can resist the joy of this season? Nehemiah was when it said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." They were celebrating Sukkot, the time of our rejoicing. Read Nehemiah 8 and 9, you'll see. They were celebrating the Feast of Sukkot. Conclusion. The Messianic Jewish observance of the fall feast is very helpful to the believer because it is a regular time of intense introspection and revival appointed by God Himself to help us in the process of sanctification and to focus our attention on the time when the bridegroom is prophetically scheduled to receive his bride into eternal matrimony. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the fall feasts are dealing with sin, preparing the bride and the wedding and the coming of the Lord. That's what the fall feasts are about. God's given us. He told us he would be crucified on Passover. He told us through Moses at Exodus 12. And he was crucified on Passover. In the same way, he's coming back for a spotless bride. A bride who's spotless, without wrinkle, on the fall feasts. I believe Yom Kippur. And then the wedding celebration will be Sukkot. Amen. And the holiest day of the year is Yom Kippur. And Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of repentance. And that's asking God to forgive us of our unrighteous deeds, which cleanses us, our gown, and makes us spotless. Isn't that neat? God has it all laid out for us. Because we know who makes atonement for our sins, we have no fear about whether our name gets written in the book of life. We only have to look to Yeshua to help us be bright and beautiful on that momentous day when the bridegroom watches us walk down the aisle with the whole world watching in awe. There is so much more than these feasts that I have not been able to share in this article. So if you missed our celebrations and teachings this year, you can order my teachings on the feasts on my CD set. It's $25, and it's a CD set, 3 or 4 CDs on the fall feasts. I teach the whole thing. So you can, if you send in $25, we'll be glad to send a set to you of those teachings of the fall feasts. I also encourage you to come out and learn about the feasts this year. Nevertheless, God gives you another chance every year. Oh, actually, it's called Hanukkah. If you blew it in the fall feast and you didn't get your dress ready, He gives you another chance at Hanukkah. That's like that's Sukkot, the repetition of Sukkot. He gives you another chance to get it ready because the temple wasn't ready for Sukkot in the year that the Maccabees were fighting the Syrians. So because of that, since they missed Sukkot and they took back the temple, they cleansed it and they celebrated it 3 months later. Isn't that something? God let the Israelites, children of Israel, celebrate in Hezekiah. He let them celebrate Passover a month later because they weren't ready. The priests weren't sanctified. They hadn't prepared themselves. So they celebrated what's called the second Passover. It was celebrated a month later. God doesn't mind. Grace says, and even in the Old Testament, grace says it's okay if you don't celebrate on the day of the feast. As long as you celebrate it with a pure heart and you're ready. If you do it a week later, or a month later, or 2 months later, He's okay if you have a reason to do it. That's grace. And it's in the Old Testament. Praise God. So, you see, so I told you about Hanukkah is the second Sukkot because they couldn't celebrate Sukkot. It hadn't taken back the temple yet, so they couldn't have Sukkot. That's the grace. So come to our fall feast celebration, folks. You can go to www.forzionsake.org. You can sign up for my newsletter, which is a teaching newsletter. If you'd like to contribute to our building fund, help us with our flood, and repair the damage from our flood, and contribute to that. Help us to, I don't know, we've already gotten $1,000 bill. So if anything you can help us with, we would greatly appreciate. I usually don't make appeals like that, but we've been slammed lately, so it's been very costly. And anyway, that's my message for today. Are your wedding garments without spot or wrinkle? It's not for me to decide whether your garments are without spot or wrinkle. My job is just to tell you how they get spotted and how to dry clean them. Amen?
Amen.
That's my job. It's between you and God to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us. So we learned that our wedding gowns are what makes them white and beautiful are the righteous deeds of the saints. Preaching the gospel, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. He who wins souls is wise. So winning souls is probably the number one righteous thing you can do. Taking care of the poor, feeding the poor, clothing the poor, helping, if it means giving a cold night, buying somebody, it's 30 degrees out, 20 degrees out, somebody's walking the street and they have no place to go, you get them a motel room. That's pure religion. That's doing the work of God. Amen? And giving someone an umbrella, a needy person who doesn't have an umbrella and it's pouring rain and it's cold out and they don't have any way to protect themselves from the rain or nowhere to go, getting them an umbrella, that's righteous deeds. Praying for people, healing the sick is righteous deed. Praying for people and praying for their needs. Right now we have a need. I ask you to pray for our congregation that we would get a good settlement on our fellowship hall and that God will pay for it and fix it so that we can we're planning to move to New Life Church and move our synagogue over there to a different building. But I can't sell this one if I don't fix the damage. So somebody's fighting me. And the trouble, you might say, well, is the trouble our fault? No, I think somebody's fighting us. I think somebody's fighting us, trying to stop us from moving. Amen? That's what I believe. So anyway, please stand up. I want to bless you. And I hope your wedding garments are without spot or wrinkle. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, there'll be no oneg today, by the way. If you all want to go out to the Greek, we can go to the Mad Greek. Anybody, or we can go up to exit 7. We'll talk about it afterwards for those who want to have lunch. Thank you all for coming. Folks on Facebook, we love you. Folks watching online, we love you too. Thank you all for watching today. And I'm going to give you the blessing. You know, when Jesus walked out in Luke 16, he walked out to Bethany with his disciples. It says that he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. There's only one blessing that a rabbi, lifts his hands. And this is how it goes. And God said to Moses, he said, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Arnai v'yishmarecha Ya'ir Arnai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah and Prince of Peace. I wish you Shabbat shalom. I wish you a prosperous and healthy and blessed week. I pray all good things for you this coming week. I bind the strong man in your life. I pray that God meets your needs spiritually, emotionally, physically, and that
he keeps the enemy, the devil, from attacking you. I pray for his that you're able to dwell in the shadow of his wings. Amen. And that he will be your rock and your refuge, your tower and your strong fortress. In Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Shabbat shalom. Yeah. And then share.
Ain't no shamata. Yes,